Okay, good morning. This lecture will be a review lecture. No new material. I'll be here for approximately an hour, I'd say. And then, sort of in the second half of the lecture, Connor McArdle will be here and talk about the queuing and the things. Okay, so the pressing question in everybody's mind is, well, what's the exam going to be like? And the answer is, well, we can give you some indications of the type of material that will be on the exam, but obviously not sort of in any specific detail. In terms of what material you have available to you to help prepare for the exams, well, obviously the exam questions are first and foremost based on the lecture notes, and the complete set of notes is available. I will post a Camtasia version of this, assuming that it works right. All of my lectures, so the simulation and the protocol analysis lectures, have Camtasia versions. All of Connor McArdle's lectures have long-form notes associated with them. Okay. There have been two assignments, and what I'd say about them is that nothing in them is directly examined. So I'm not going to ask you, when you built your simulator, did you choose X, Y, or Z, or anything like that? However, the assignments were chosen, obviously, to illustrate concepts in the course, and so hopefully they provide you a greater understanding of at least some of the topics in the course. Okay. Sort of coming closer to what's examinable, or not what's examinable, but what types of questions we can ask. There are now three problem sets posted as well, one for simulation, one for MAC protocol analysis, and one for queuing. I intend to post solutions to a version of the simulation and MAC protocol analysis problems. Some of them, if you read through it, are things like derive this, derive that, and you can dig that out of the notes yourself. On the other hand, some are more calculational, and so these I'll provide solutions for. Now, these problems are meant to, again, give you an indication of the type of things that can be asked on an exam, but they're in no way a completely comprehensive set of what we can possibly ask you. So what I would say is that if you pick up these problem sets and sit down and do them, and you feel quite comfortable with your solutions, and you check them against my answers and whatever, and you think you've done okay, then that's probably a good indication that you have mastered the material and should do fine on the exam. On the other hand, if you take my solutions and learn them off, again, the problems won't be identical, so it's sort of less of an indication, and perhaps no indication at all, that you'll do well on the exam. Okay, so I believe in my problem set, Connor McArdle structured his very specifically in terms of exam-type questions. Again, I would caution against doing sort of too deep an analysis of that. Mine are a little less structured. Any sort of one problem on the problem set might represent a portion of a problem on an exam, more than one problem on an exam, but again, they sort of copy the, or they sort of indicate the type of material that you should be looking at. Okay, we've also produced a sample exam, and there are a few bits of information you can feel free to take from the sample exam. Firstly, the topics for the questions. Question one is a simulation question, or is on the topic of simulation. Question two is on the topic of protocol analysis. And questions three through five, more nebulously, are on the topics of queuing. And I don't know whether you'll extract any additional information from Connor about those questions three to five or not. Okay. The format of the paper is that you have to choose four of these five questions. So again, that's all information. You should take that into the exam, and you know, there will be no surprises in that direction. Okay. Again, in terms of the specific questions on the exam, I would really urge you not to overanalyze, okay, either in terms of sort of number of parts or topics that were asked. There's not going to be a huge or, if any, overlap between the sample exam and the actual exam. So in terms of, again, general format, yes, spot on, but in terms of actual details, no. Okay, so that's sort of the generic comments that are applicable to any part of this module. I'm going to spend a little bit of time sort of talking about my bit of the module, again, the simulation and the protocol analysis, and a little bit about how I view sort of setting exam questions and what topics I would think would be you'd be well served to look at. And unfortunately, that's pretty much all of them, but... Okay, so in general, if you sit down and think about what types of questions can be asked on an exam, it breaks down into three types. Derivation, so we did a lot of that, for instance, in protocol analysis, and you know, it is one of the sort of key learning outcomes for this module, so I would expect you to be able to derive some or most of the formulas that we went over. Calculation, so take the formulas, know which one to, you know, don't necessarily have to derive them from step one, but know what they are and which one to apply in which solution, in sort of what context. And finally, general knowledge or understanding. So again, if you take the example of protocols, do you know the basic operation of all the protocols? Do you know, sort of at least intuitively, why you would pick one protocol over another, and maybe even moving into sort of mathematically, why would you pick one protocol over another? So I'll expand out a bit on the topics. Again, I was responsible for the simulation topics and the protocol analysis topics. And so in terms of what topics are examinable for simulation, well, everything, with the exception of I won't sort of explicitly be asking about autocorrelation on the exam. I won't ask you to grind out any autocorrelations. Okay, so there were three sort of big topics for simulation. There was sort of building a simulation model, understanding what a simulation model was or is, and we looked at a number of design methodologies. So by that I mean event-advance, time-advance, process-oriented. Okay. And we saw that a simulator had to have a number of components, you know, things like event lists, clocks, etc., simulation logic, etc. Okay. And so, again, those would primarily fall, those type of questions would primarily fall into this general knowledge category. Okay, we did look at a few sort of more computational issues. We looked at generating random variates, we started with pseudo-random numbers, so things that were distributed uniform, well, over some range, 0, 1, or if you had a larger range, you can always normalize back to 0, 1. Okay. And within that, if I were to ask a question, it would be about the basic congruential generators. Okay. We also saw how, given a sequence of pseudo-random numbers, we could generate random variates. So we could generate a sequence of random variables according to a more general probability distribution. Okay. And so again, I would expect you to know those techniques and apply them, potentially, if you think about the inverse transform technique, that can be applied to a large number of sort of general distributions. So if I give you a distribution, you should be able to apply it. Okay, the final topic was output analysis. And again, I'm sure having done the assignment, you understand the difference between transient and steady states. And sort of having done the second assignment, you should have some idea about, again, these properties of our estimators. Okay. Now, again, gathering independent information, so a couple of techniques, batch techniques as opposed to sort of multiple run techniques. Bias and confidence intervals are things that, both you can derive sort of the basic results for, and also sort of you can apply them in a calculational fashion. Personally, I consider confidence intervals to be important, so don't be surprised at all if you see a confidence interval on the exam. Okay, and so that's sort of pretty straightforward. The second topic was protocol analysis, and here, again, we were looking at analytical techniques for determining performance of various protocols. Okay. And so the basic performance metrics that we looked at were the transfer delay, so the time it takes a packet to arrive in the system and then get to its destination. The throughput, so how many packets can a network handle in a given period of time, and the normalized throughput, so that packet relative to how long it takes to transmit, so the throughput relative to how long it takes to transmit a packet. Okay, and again, it helps to think about all the different interpretations of normalized throughput in terms of network efficiency, network usage, etc. Okay. And so, again, we looked at three to four types of protocols. We looked at polling protocols, token ring protocols, and then contention-based protocols, of which we looked at various flavors of Aloha and CSMA. Okay. Now, what questions can be asked? Well, there's quite a few formulas to be derived. The basic approaches to deriving them tend to be similar, but there are a lot of different formulas. Based on those formulas, again, I can give you a network setup and ask you to calculate just crunch the numbers for it. And again, in terms of general knowledge, you should understand these protocols, what sort of conditions would lead you to pick one protocol over another, etc. Okay, so just to give you a few more, sort of a little bit more direction, I'll take this protocol by protocol. I won't ask you to derive the average waiting time for the roll call protocol. So that's one thing you can eliminate from your studies. But you may have to actually use the formula. Okay. And again, general knowledge or understanding. Do you understand how the protocol works? Okay, so for token rings, again, there were derivations. There's sort of there's a general formula for average delay in a token ring. And again, you can use as a starting point the delay for a polling network. And as we saw, we needed to phrase things in terms of the effective service time to account for various token release policies. Okay. And in general, it's pretty straightforward. The single token exponential packet case gets a bit fiddly, so again, I won't ask you that on an exam. Okay, it's nice, it's cute, but... Okay, and then one thing that, again, you should be clear on for a derivation is what assumptions are being made at the start, what's the exact setup that was the basis for these derivations. Usually if I ask a derivation problem, the first thing I will ask is state the assumptions that were made. Okay, and in terms of calculation, again, you should be able to reproduce and use the formulas that you're above. And again, understand what each of these different protocols and what the general protocol does. Okay. So then we had the Aloha protocol. And again, the token ring and the polling protocols are sort of a very similar flavor. They've got this turn-taking mechanism, and the analysis for them is sort of all one piece. Similarly, the contention-based protocols have a lot of similarities, and the type of analysis you do on those is all one piece. Okay, and in general, what you're looking for with these contention-based protocols is an expression of our normalized throughput S in terms of an offered load G. And we looked at a basic Aloha case, a slotted Aloha case. We saw that the slotted Aloha was, we could improve on the basic performance. And we made one big assumption for those in that we assumed we had infinite users with a Poisson-type distribution, and that the offered loads to the network had a Poisson-type distribution. And then we, for the slotted Aloha, we looked at sort of various improvements on that. We looked at what happens if you explicitly take the backoff algorithm into account, and the final formula is quite hairy, but we did derive one in terms of QN and QT, the probability of success for new and retransmitted packets. And that's not too complicated to work out. And finally, we had a little look at what happens if you restrict this or remove the infinite user case and look at a fixed number of users. Okay, and again, you can comment on things about what happens to that in the limit, etc. Okay, and so again, there would have been a result for each of these, and in terms of calculations, you should be able to reproduce that result without derivation and then apply it to a specific problem. Finally, we had a quick look at CSMA protocols, and again, the derivation is fairly long-winded. It pretty much follows the same approach as the Aloha protocols, but it gets a bit, it gets long, and I didn't do even do it in the notes, and I wouldn't be asking you on the exam. I did give you, again, formulas for S in terms of G, but I'm not going to ask you to reproduce those on an exam, and furthermore, I won't even ask a question about them on an exam. Okay. But there were a few sort of interesting points in terms of sort of just comparison of performance. Sort of, again, what conditions cause CSMA to be better than Aloha, worse than Aloha? There were various flavors of CSMA, which I managed not to mark down here, but you had non-persistent, one-persistent, p-persistent, and how do they compare in performance? When might you want to use one over another? Okay, so there would be a few general sort of understanding type questions, but nothing in terms of derivation or calculation. Okay, so does anybody have any questions? Again, just about topics. Okay, so the final comments I will make, okay, well, Connor will cover his part of it and talk to you about his topics. The final comments, again, I'll make about my section, and my thoughts about, was there any good selection of problems to go over, and you know, again, it's somewhat misleading to solve a subset of problems. Again, I will give you solutions to the problem sets I posted, so don't worry about that. But what I decided was I would take the sample exam, which, as you'll see, was not as well thought out as an actual exam would be. There's actually one error in it. Caught already when I went to solve the problems. But I would just say a few words about sort of, you know, again, the approach to answering these questions. and again how they fall into that scheme of, you know, derivation versus calculation versus general knowledge. And you know, what you would hope is that on any exam you'd have sort of a mixture of all of those types of questions. Again, don't analyze the exam to get exact ratios of that mixture, but again, think that hopefully you would have a mixture. Okay, so just going relatively quickly through these questions, even for these I won't solve them in gory detail, I'll just give you an indication of the approach. So obviously, any definitions must have come out of the notes and would represent sort of the key elements, the key concepts from the notes. Okay. And it's not exactly a derivation, but I put it into the derivation sort of category, again, comes out of the notes. Okay, so the second question falls somewhere in the calculation and to some extent general knowledge camp. I have given you your sequence of pseudo-random numbers and asked you to use them to produce random variates with specific distributions, and the uniform distribution, it's a straightforward application of the inverse transform method, and as you recall from the notes, the Poisson distribution, it's a technique. And it was discussed directly in the notes, but when you're producing the random variates, in some cases, it's just a straightforward application of the inverse transform. That's a calculation. In some cases, you know, there were tricks involved, as with the Poisson distribution. So that probably falls more into general knowledge. Okay. So again, for part I, you just apply the inverse transform technique. So you calculate the CDF and you set R equal to that and solve for X in terms of R. As I said, the Poisson distribution is from the notes, and again, it requires that you understand sort of the trick involved. And there's a couple of them that are more along those lines. The normal distribution would obviously be another case where it's not just a brute force application of the inverse transform technique. Okay, so as I said, I do tend to think that the confidence interval is quite an important concept when it comes to simulation. And expect to see a question about confidence intervals or a part of a question about confidence intervals on the actual exam. That's the one thing I'm going to tell you explicitly is on the exam. And so again, I would start off the question, do you have some basic knowledge of what the main concept is? And then sort of move on to, do you understand the fine details? and can you perform a calculation? Can you actually use what you know?
Okay.
So, we discussed, well, two possible distributions to be used for calculating confidence intervals. And this refers to part two. If you have enough samples, and typically enough means around 30, you would use the normal distribution. And if you have less samples than that, you would use the teacher's distribution.
Okay.
So if we look in this case, we have less samples, so we would use the teacher's distribution.
Okay.
And so then applying it, I'll just skip forward. So we started with the definition, a bit of appreciation of the subtleties, and then just to apply it, we had derived a formula for the confidence interval, and this was in terms of the variance, the number of samples, and then this factor D, where D is related to the to this distribution. So what you want is to know how many I can't remember the word, sorry. How many S's or sigmas you have to go from the mean in order to exclude all the 10%, 5%, 2% of your population. Okay. And so there's one thing to be careful about when dealing with the two tables, and that is to definitely be aware that in the tables given and the ones that would be given on the exam, and these tables obviously have to be provided on the exam, the normal distribution is given in terms of the whole distribution. The teacher's distribution is given in terms of the right tail. Okay. And so what you would want, you have set symmetry, you've got the plus and minus side. So what you want is thing for the teachers is that half of your what you're excluding, the 10%, 5%, or 2%, is included in this table. So again, you have to have those values, whereas with the normal distribution, you take the whole value. Okay. So, teachers' distribution are also in terms of the table is in terms of the degrees of freedom. Again, that's which essentially is sort of where you capture the difference between that and a straightforward normal distribution. For our purposes, the degrees of freedom is the number of samples minus one. Okay. So we can get our values for D. So again, this indicates that if we wanted to exclude 5% of our population, and again, that's in the right tail, then we'd have to go 1.833113 away, one sigma away from the origin. And so, again, that's the information we need to calculate our confidence intervals. So we are given the number of samples, we're given at least an estimate of the variance, and then we use the table to calculate D. All Okay. So that's question one. That's typical of what might be asked on a simulation question. It's not obviously the only thing that can be asked for a simulation question. Okay. Now, the second question, again, will cover the protocol analysis and will be some combination of derivation and calculation and general knowledge. Okay, so if we look at the first question, this is a derivation. Again, I start with asking you sort of what assumptions were made to arrive at, that allowed us to start the derivation in a certain way. And I'd already said that we had an assumption of infinite users. We also have, an assumption in how the packets are presenting themselves to the network. And specifically, we assume that the overall distribution of the packets to the network is Poisson with a mean rate of g packets per slot, so that was our offered load, and which gives us lambda times p packets per second, where p is the size of your slot. Okay. So, again, this, you know, in terms of an ideal exam question, I probably would have phrased it slightly differently if I sort of sat down and thought about it, because there aren't a whole pile of additional assumptions made for this specific calculation. But you know, some of them you have quite a few assumptions for, so be aware of them. And again, this is actually one of the sort of simpler calculations in the notes. Okay, our second problem is a calculation problem. And again, there's a problem with it in the sample exam in that I essentially overloaded the network. I generated too much traffic. I didn't solve the problem before I threw it onto the exam, which is not the case for any of the official exams. But if you try and run with the numbers as they are originally, you know, again, you have too much traffic going in and the network's unstable. Okay. Which again is an underlying assumption, is that we start with a stable network. Okay, so I ask you to do two things. Find the mean waiting time or delay given a certain traffic pattern, and then see something about what happens if we change the conditions in the network. What would, you know, again, this question is about the stability of the network. Okay, so this falls somewhere between a calculation and an understanding of why we're doing all this and sort of what the basic setup is. Okay, so pretty much you have to start by knowing, or you know, God forbid, deriving that formula quickly. And then obviously it's just a matter of calculating each of the components within the formula. Okay. So we need to calculate the walk time, which is again this overhead time, which includes the transmission of a go-ahead packet, the transmission of the polling packet, and the propagation time, to and from the station to controller. And obviously this should be the K calculation for it should be right under it, and then the modem synchronization time. Okay, but there's nothing complicated about that. Transmission times are a function of length and transmission speed. Propagation times are, again, a function of distance and propagation speed, or propagation rate in this case. Okay. And so you can calculate the walk time. And so the other components that you have to calculate are the normalized throughput, and this can be calculated as the throughput per station. So each station is producing packets at a certain rate, and then the packets again take a certain have a certain transmission time. Okay. And then if you each station is doing that, the overall load to the network is the total contributions from all the stations. Okay. So again, what you can see is if that was 5,000, your normalized throughput, which can't be more than one for a stable network, or doesn't make sense at more than one, is obviously more than one. Okay. And then we know what the second moment is for exponential length packets. It's 2 times the average squared. Okay, so again, I didn't grind out all those numbers, but it's at that point just a matter of plugging in all the numbers. And again, the final part is just, again, an understanding of the sort of system and system requirements overall. And again, what we need is that our overall throughput has to be less than 1. Okay. So, as we reduce data rate, you'll see that has an impact on the throughput. Ironically, it's increasing the throughput, but again, you have to keep it at less than 1, so in order to not overload the system. Okay, so again, don't take too much out of the specific problems that are given there. Again, just take it as an example of the style that might be used on this exam. So that's all I wanted to say. Does anybody have any questions then? Okay, feel free to email me if you have questions about any of the problems or anything within the module. I'll try and obviously I'm going to be on leave over the Christmas break, but I'll try and respond in a somewhat timely fashion. Okay, and certainly I'll be back well before the exam starts. Sorry? They should be, the first one will be posted quite soon.
On Moodle.
Yeah, on Moodle. Okay, and I think if you want sort of feedback, you're going to have to email me. The comments have been made actually on your, sort of in the document of your assignment, so I'll probably have to send that to you sort of separately. But they should be posted soon. The assignments have been marked. The second one, you'd probably ought to ask Connor about
that one. I think he wants to get it done fairly quickly. But.
Okay, well, again, all the best on the exam. Feel free to contact me at any point.
And